Hello, you're listening to Scariff Bay Radio on 88.3 and 92.7. And this is your host, Carol McNamara, with another edition of Soundtrack to Your Life. And this week, I'm really pleased to welcome two men who are very well known to Scariff Bay listeners. And that is for another reason, because they are effectively the sports department. The sports department are here with me today. So I'd like to welcome Pat McNamara. How are you, Pat?
Great, Carol, and thanks for the invite. Lovely to be here.
Great. And Leo Doyle. How are you, Leo?
Good, Carol, and thanks for the invite also.
They're looking kind of a little green around the gills, for those of you who haven't got colour on your wireless. And that's because they're used to actually asking the questions. And they're also part of those Saturdays and Sundays. Oh, will they ever come back again, when we have the Clash of the Ash and we feel in our kitchens, even if we're not at the match, the excitement and the fervour that they manage to captivate in their broadcasts. So now we're going to look at a kind of a different aspect of their life. And what is the music that drives these men on? And I'm first of all going to go to Pat. Pat, your first choice of music that you picked for the soundtrack to your life, why did you choose this?
I'll tell you why, Carol, but before I do, I suppose you should have probably mentioned that Leo's the head of sport and I'm simply a little lecky at the trail following behind him. He's the main man.
There was a hierarchy. I apologise.
Oh, the hierarchy is very important.
Carol, far from it, as you well know.
And the passion and the fervour of the commentaries as well. But look, we have great fun doing it all the time. To go back to your question, Carol, I suppose everyone's memories of musical favourites tend to go back to when you're a teenager. The years when you begin to discover sort of what music you do like, because you're kind of told what to listen to up to maybe 12 or 13 or 14, and in those days anyway. So I remember when the traditional and folk revival began in Ireland, and it was in England as well, Christy Moore, and that in the late 60s into the 70s, I really loved it on the radio. But I was in my element when I got my first car. I suppose I was about maybe 19, hitting for 20. And had my father's car off and on before that when I needed it. And I think there was a little tape recorder in that as well, or a tape player. But I remember getting the cassettes, the old reel-to-reel cassettes. And I got Planxty, and I got Christy Moore, and I got the Dubliners, and I would have got the Botty Band a little bit later, and Paul Brady and Andy Irvine in those. And I had them burning constantly in the car everywhere I went. And that time you were driving all the time, because you were going out 3 and 4 nights a week and going to work and things. But I always loved Planxty. I just thought that they completely reshaped our thinking of Irish folk music and Irish traditional music, and they mixed a very traditional brand of playing reels and jigs and the ballads and the old songs with a kind of a more modern kind of an edge to it as well. So I know Paul Brady did a brilliant version of, maybe the signature version if you like, of Arthur McBride. But I also loved the Planxty version with Andy Irvine singing the lead, and it's a song about two young lads out for a walk on the beach, and it's Christmas Day, and they meet two British Army people who want to recruit them, two British Army officers, and they put fierce pressure on to recruit them, and the two lads are having none of it, and they're happy as they are, and they don't want to go off and get killed, so they deal with this pressure very well, and the song describes that. But there's some lovely images in the song, but it's a great tune as well. But that was one of my favourites, and Paul Brady's version is also brilliant, I have to say.
Yes.
Including his guitar work. But the good thing is this version is a little bit quicker for the sake of the time of your programme. This one goes a little bit quicker, and I think there's a verse or two less in it.
It's a brilliant version.
It's just driving around as a young fella without a care. Just reminds me of those first car hitting off.
Okay, what was the first car? We need a little more.
My first car was the Ford Cortina 1.6. I went big with it, which was old.
It was very big for your first car.
A cousin of mine who was into cars and rallying a bit. Pat Kenny in Clonera, I might as well mention him.
Yes.
He sourced it for me at the time, and it was a bit too big for me. And I made it smaller later on now, right? I down in Kerry one time, it was going well. But that's another story.
Yes.
But I got my tape machine into it anyway immediately. And I was, as I said, the tapes of those bands and groups and singers I mentioned were smoking by the time it was finished with them. And then, of course, they really fall on the floor and they travel, and that was the end of it.
And then you'd have to get a biro, and you'd have to put the biro into the middle
to read
of
it all
the cassette,
yes,
as they'd say, correct, into the middle of the cassette, and then try and wind
You've
it.
You've been there, Carol, obviously.
I've been there, done that. And I have a vision of you now coming down, you know, by Loch Graney,
yes,
and just in gorgeous setting and on lovely summer days, and you're listening to this song. So let's hear it.
And many a late night as well, coming home from somewhere about 3 or 4 a.m., Carol.
Arthur McBride, I'm going to play it now. And you're listening to The Soundtrack to My Life on 88.3 or 92.7. And I am with my guests, and guests plural. I'm with Pat McNamara and Leo Doyle. And we've just heard Pat McNamara's first choice, which was Arthur McBride, which is a great sound of the 70s. But I don't think my next guest was even born anywhere near that time. Leo Doyle, where were you during the 70s? You weren't born.
I was born all right, but I'm listening to Pat there, and he's on about the buyer on the cassettes. I tell you, Pat, you're telling your age there. When I was growing up, music wasn't I didn't pay much attention to music. I was played a bit all right, but I didn't pay much attention to it. I suppose the first song that ever turned me was when ABBA won the Eurovision, I think, I don't know, it was in the 70s with Waterloo, a song that's still going on,
yes.
But you know, you'd listen, whatever was on, you'd listen to. You were never really into anything much like, but one particular song came to my attention. I was on, the first one that I have for you is Don't Pay the Ferryman by Chris de Burgh. And I was on an Irish course in Aran Islands, Inishere, which is the nicest place in the world, for me anyway. But I can remember two people arguing at the pier over going back to the husband and a wife. And you know, Aran Islands was good for a breakaway and no one knew where you were, but he didn't want to go back and she wanted to go back, and we happened to come on and we were listening to it, and it was in the summer of 1982, and Chris de Burgh's song Don't Pay the Ferryman was only after being released, and whatever was going on in the house where we were staying that evening, and that was the song. No, we weren't supposed to be playing English songs in the house, but when the lad said the same, a more up to date version of the tape recorder that Pat had, but Don't Pay the Ferryman by Chris de Burgh, and that's my reason for brings back
choice.
That memories of that Irish course in Airlines.
And was that while you were still at school at that
Yeah, I was
stage?
Getting ready, supposed to be getting ready to do the leaving cert the following
and
year.
What's
yeah.
this supposed to be? Did you
Carol,
not do
I
it?
Don't think it's telling us everything that happened at the Aran Islands either. I have a feeling there's a lot more to it.
We could have that'll be a real desert island.
Exactly.
We definitely have to come back to that. So you were getting ready for your leaving cert.
Supposed to be learning a bit of Irish, yeah.
Yeah. And the reason music wasn't so big was because you might have been busy with something else, which was
I did play music a good bit, right? But it came to a choice when I was 16. It was either play music, and I was on the Clare under 16 panel, and it was either...
Did you, Leo? What did you play?
Piano accordion.
Yeah. Gosh, I didn't know that.
Dermot O'Brien of
Buckethead.
Would you believe it? Dermot O'Brien would have been one of the lads I would have listened to, and the fact I listened to him was...
He was a footballer,
and he played the piano accordion. So for that, he was from the wee county of Louth.
We could nearly have had a Dermot O'Brien one here, I think.
Your GA credentials are coming out well, Carol.
This is it. I remember that because I don't know much about Louth, but I remember that. Listen, we're going to play now for Leo Doyle, his first choice on The Soundtrack to My Life, and his first choice of Don't Pay the Ferryman. Was Don't Pay the Ferryman, which was Leo Doyle's first choice, my guest on Soundtrack to My Life. And we've been talking about the summer of 82, and just I've never really heard of anybody that went to Inishere or went to the Aran Islands as a student from school and didn't have a good time. Like, and people sort of, when you talk about, most people I know that went there, and lots of my friends did when I was at school in Tulla, their eyes kind of glaze over when they remember whatever that summer was. So something special, I think, probably happens out there every summer.
I think, Carol, you can say it was a place to learn Irish, but there was some very Irish things happened there as well. No question about it.
Okay, so moving on now, Pat. So you've been in the Cortina for a while now with the cassette player, and you've made it a little bit smaller down in Kerry at some point, and you may have even replaced that car, I'm thinking. And we meet you now where you're into your, perhaps, your next musical choice.
I have it left by heart. You read my mind, Carol. Yeah, I did change the car, I'd say, in about 1981 or two, around the time Leo was talking about his song there. And again, I associate with drive because I was working in Killaloe at the time. So from Flagmont to Killaloe was a nice drive. You'd have 30, 35 minutes in the morning and the same in the evening. So it was a great way to unwind or even prepare for the day to have your favourite songs on. And it was nowadays, it would be boringly listening to Morning Ireland or something like that and hearing all the bad news is happening. But in those days, it was turning up the music. But yeah, the second one I've gone with is a great, I suppose, an icon of music. I've always loved Bob Dylan since I heard him first. I couldn't make out half what his songs are about, but I think he doesn't know himself what half his songs are about. He even says that, yeah. But he's a great way with words and some of the songs, great melodies as well. I mean, who hasn't sung Blowing in the Wind or something like that over the years around a campfire or something like that. But my better half then and I got together in the early 80s and she heard Bob Dylan with me on the radio constantly playing and she got fond of it as well. But she picked out a song that we both agreed was great sentiment and that is Forever Young. And I suppose the attitude of that one is, you know, you can spend your life growing old or you can, you know, stay going the way you are always and stop talking about age and do what you can. And there's one couple of lines I like in it. May your hands always be busy and your feet always be swift. And I know Kathleen has that view of life for certain, but I try to have it myself, although I'm not as swift as Leo is now, getting up to the high commentary spots that he can glide up. It's a great song.
It's a great ethos,
sentiment.
Isn't it?
It's a great an ethos of life. And the other one then is, of course, doing to others as you would have them do to you. And I suppose if you'd all lived our lives with along those lines, I suppose, you know, I know it sounds very grand, but the world would be a better place. But like, it's one of the songs that does kind of easy enough follow what he's saying, the train of thought. Although I read recently, because I was looking it up again there, that there is a train of thought that he always likes playing on words. And that he didn't like the way Neil Young had sung a song on one of his records, and he kind of played on Neil Young's name with this song, May You Stay Forever Young, and stop copying Bob Dylan. That might be nothing to that. I read that recently, I'm sure Wikipedia is the most dangerous place to go.
Leaving that aside, which is could very well be his thinking, I mean, wasn't it, the words of it are almost like, it's almost like a prayer or a blessing, or it could be used. You could hear it as a reading. You know, it's such a classic piece.
But a lot of his songs, he does refer to biblical things and kind of. I don't know what religion he. I mean, he was grew up a Jew, I think, but he was known as the protest singer of the 60s, even though he didn't want to be. But he wrote great songs anti-war, and he wrote great songs and ballads, and I mean, he has hundreds. Any songwriter has his body of work to match his body of work. But this song, anyway, I suppose, my better half, Kathleen, and myself both love it. And it reminds us of good old days before you had the responsibility of houses and children and kids and mortgages and all that.
Young.
So it has that great memory. And we're still trying to live by it. I hope we're succeeding. She's succeeding anyway, and I hope I am as well.
I think you are too. Mm. Okay, so let's hear Forever Young by Bob Dylan. And this version is actually with the band. Which we love to.
May God bless and keep you always. May your wishes all come true. May you always do for others and let others do for you.
Well, we're nicely chilled here in Scariff Bay Community Radio as we've just heard Bob Dylan singing Forever Young, and we're doing our best to stay forever young here until somebody finds us out and sacks us and tells us we're too old for the job, which could happen. It could happen to me at any day. I don't know. Jim hasn't mentioned it yet, but we'll keep going until we're found out anyway, and we'll stay forever young. Great choice from Pat McNamara on the soundtrack to My Life on Scariff Bay Community Radio. And now I must turn to his co-host and Leo Doyle. Tell me how now you've come back, you finally got that ferry, you finally left the island, you've returned to training, you're doing all that you should do and everything. Tell me about some of the highs and lows of your hurling life.
I tell you, there's more lows than highs, that's for sure. But no, coming back from Down Islands in, say, that was in the early 80s, and I was just starting to play hurling with Budaik, right, at that stage, you know, and in Budaik, you were either very old or you were very young. There was hardly anyone in between, but, you know, it was great to play with, you know, the likes of Jimmy Walsh, Sean Holland, and you know, in fairness to Sean Holland, really for him, we wouldn't have any team, you know, but like he was the man that set it all up for us. And I suppose then in the early 80s, in centenary year, we got to a junior A final, which we lost. We won a league, all right. And we came back then in 1986 and won the junior A championship, which brought us back up to intermediate. And, you know, then we got to a final. You know, we were fairly, we weren't too bad. We were always competitive, like. And we got to 89, then we got to an intermediate final. And that's where my second choice song comes in. Didn't go so great. We went from probably our best performance ever in about Budaik jersey in the semi-final to going to a total downer by losing the final. You know, then, you know, we kind of stayed up. We lost in 89, so we were always pushing to win intermediate, which was probably our aim. And in 96, we did achieve that aim. We were always around the semi-finals in that. But in 96, we overturned. Clonlara had beaten us in 89, and we overturned that in 96. And I suppose that would be one of the major highs, definitely for me in the club. I know we maybe won a bit underage. Progressed in, maybe played with Clare on and off. I was on the panel, and I suppose, as somebody said, you were like the judge. You were on the bench more often than you were playing. But, you know, I won the junior championship in 95, all right. You know, and I suppose another highlight going back was being on the Munster final panel, the senior panel in 86 down in Killarney. And that was, even though we lost, is a memory that will always stay, you know. And
yeah. What was that being there that day?
Oh, that was unreal that day, you know, because we, the Clare team, went down on Saturday night and stayed in the Egadoo Heights above, you know, outside Killarney, and, you know, people were getting calls on the phone. You know, there was no noise, but there was enough of getting calls through to reception. Egadoo had the crackdown in Killarney was absolutely, it was alive, of course, there's no doubt about that. But you were well away from it, like, but I know that, you know, it was strange for a match being on in Killarney, but I tell you, the atmosphere down there was, to come out, and even just to come out as part of the panel that day was something unreal. You know, it was electric down there, and
it must have been, yeah.
You know, to walk beside some of the, see these cockleds up beside you that you'd already see normally on television, like.
And
you
actually,
know,
to have been in Killarney must have been, because you know, it wasn't the home of hurling, you know, but it must have been, so it must have added another dimension to it to be
like, you were going to Limerick and Tullis was your Mecca, like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. And if you were lucky enough to go to an All-Ireland final in Croke Park, which Clare didn't do for a while afterwards, but that day in Killarney was absolutely magic, do you know what I mean? And I think that was one of the first real days that the GAA realised that there was a major product on here, and it took on from there. You know, unfortunately, Clare lost the game, and it was always one that will be known as it got away, you know. And
how much did we lose by?
3 points.
Yeah.
And, like, that time there was no backdoor. No. You know, there's no doubt if there was a second chance and that year, Clare would have gone a long way, you know.
Yes.
And, you know, and it was a pity, like, because Seamus Jurek was the manager, right? Yeah. Martin McCaw from Killaloo, Kilkishan, was a coach, and he was a man before his time. His coaching was absolutely, you know, top class, you know. And it was just, you know, Jackie Gorman and as a selector, you know what I mean? They were lads that you've been watching in the 70s, and just to go in to hear what they had to say, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, we went on then, I suppose I went on then, I played with Clare. You know, my last time was a junior final in, as I said, in 95.
Yeah.
And we just, on the Wednesday night after the senior, when they won the Munster senior against Limerick. And I tell you, it was funny, the preparation wasn't the best anyway for that one. There's no doubt, compared to normal games, because you had to celebrate the senior on the Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, but look, we got away with it anyway. But look, there were my...
And that's, when you lose, like, tell me, because you've chosen It's a Heartache by Bonnie Tyler. And, you know, how bad did you feel? How bad do you feel?
It was going back to the 89 intermediate final, right? And I was captain of Budyke, and as I said, we had played a marvellous game against Corrifin, and you know, we were playing Clonmel, and we thought this thing was on, like, you know, this was going to be the day. But unfortunately, when Budyke went to Cusick Park, a lot of the time Cusick Park was a very big field.
Yes.
And bit too big for some of us. But I always remember waking up on the Monday after that game, right? And of course, health wouldn't be in a great condition anyway, there's no doubt, after the night before. But Bonnie Tyler would have been one of my favourite singers, right? And for whatever reason, now there is a song that's, you know, the winner takes it all, right? But on this particular morning, the song did come on. Was It's a Heartache, and I thought, well, I know what it is, a headache, that's what it is, but It's a Heartache by Bonnie Tyler, and that was the song that came on, the first song I heard on the Monday after that final, and I thought the whole world was coming in at that stage, you know, devastation.
And how long does it take? I mean, having never been in the situation, only ever having been a supporter, and knowing how long it might take to get over as a supporter, you know, the losses, when you have played and trained all year, and this is that, you know, and that's, you're going out of a championship, you finish that, as far as the championship's concerned. Like, how long does it take you to get over it?
It takes a while. It took me a good while now to get over that one, to be honest about it. But, you know, and then we had a lot of players that came, that called it a day after that match, you know, older players, and it was, you know, they have given great service to Budyke, right?
Yeah.
But the only thing was, when we went back training the following spring, there was an awful lot of new lads. There was a good underage policy going in Budyke, and a lot of young lads came in, new young lads came in, and we actually won an intermediate league against all the odds, and probably left the championship behind us the following year, even with all the young lads. Do you know what I mean? But you know, it gave you great hope again. But yeah, it does. Of course, it does take a while. Yeah, no doubt.
Just for the benefit of our listeners, you are listening to the soundtrack to my life. We're not on Sportsline, we're on the soundtrack to my line, but we're with the Sportsline boys, and we're with Pat Mack and Leo Doyle here, and we'll have a great old time, and we're going to listen to It's a Heartache by Bonnie Tyler. You're listening to Soundtrack to My Life on Scariff Bay Community Radio on 88.3 and 92.7, or perhaps you're somewhere out there in the world listening to us on the World Wide Web or on the TuneIn app. And we have just been listening to It's a Heartache by Bonnie Tyler, and we've just been hearing of the heartache that Leo Doyle, my guest, had experienced, and of course the rest of his team, the rest of the Budyke team in 1989. And we were talking about the high days, and I suppose we were talking about the low days of hurling and just how you might feel after that. So it was a very apt tune. And I'm back now to Pat McNamara. And Pat, moving on again now, I don't wonder what car you're driving by now. We might be going into the 90s. What do you think you've got now?
You read my mind again, Carol. Yeah, we're into the 90s for the next song. And of course, we're into the middle of the 90s, 95, the hottest, driest, warmest summer in decades at that time. But of course, I think anyone with a drop of clear blood in their veins knows 95 was the year we made the breakthrough in Munster, finally. And of course, went on to win the first All-Ireland in 81 years, our second altogether. But the song I have chosen is apt enough, because for all the campaign in Munster, well, for years before that, but the campaign in Munster that year and the All-Ireland semi-final and final, a great friend of ours and neighbour, the late Lord have mercy, Michael Salmon, he used to travel to Etchell with us in the car. And Mike wouldn't be known as a singer. Now, he was known as a brilliant storyteller, great man for a few drinks, loved the hurling, was mad into his sport. He lived alone. He had Sky Sports, but nobody had it, because he loved boxing and soccer and the racing and everything, and American football even. He could follow and speak with authority in all of them. But hurling was his passion, of course, being from where he was from. But Mike and he would be in the car with us. And obviously, after the match in Limerick or Thurles or wherever you come back to, you'd stop at a watering hole at somewhere, maybe on the way home, or maybe in Tuller or Scariff, or get back to Killinina. And Mike would blurt out one line of a song, totally out of tune, but it was, there'll be days like this. And he said, it wasn't too tuneful, but that summer, that spring, I think that song, Van Morrison, of course, released that song, I think, in either April or May of 95. And, of course, it was on the radio fairly often, and it still is, actually. It's one of those classics. But I always associate this with 95, and, of course, that magical year. And I talked about Leo, talking about his lows, and here we're back to the highs again. And it was in 95, and as I said, it's been a massive hit worldwide. And, of course, Van Morrison is also a fantastic songwriter, the Belfast Cowboy and Van the Man, and whatever it's called. And again, some of his songs are maybe isn't everyone's cup of tea. He can be a bit grumpy on stage sometimes, mm-hmm. I think, but he's not the friendliest, warmest type of a character, but he has written some fantastic songs, Carol.
This song definitely describes, you know, as they say, what it says on the can,
My
you
mom
know.
My mom always told me there'll be days like this. You know, we never thought we'd see them.
But
and
so many of our people didn't see them, and it was something so special. I just think, for me, I think it was the Monster final, even though to win in All Ireland, but I remember when the final whistle blew in Thurles, and being with my mother, being with a lot of older people who had gone to so many matches, yeah. God be good to many of them, and those who witnessed it, and just the shock on people's faces that we had won a Munster final. And for somehow, even though the All-Ireland was just, it was a fantastic day too, and I enjoyed that, but somehow that day in Thurles was something else. It was the start of an amazing summer for us.
It was a mixture of disbelief, relief, awe, being dumbstruck,
yeah.
and fearing that wasn't even real,
yes.
because the crowd, the Clare people invaded the pitch with about 3 minutes to go,
yes.
thinking it was over. They gathered at the end of at the Killinan end. And I remember even, I think one or two of the players said since then, they were hoping and praying the referee wouldn't blow it up because of the crowd and give Limerick a replay after all that hard work.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the Munster Championship win that year, nearly all involved will say that was the big highlight. And some of the older supporters as well, because we got our most of our beatings in Munster. The memories of that bad days were Munster, Limerick, and occasionally maybe in Cork, at Thurles, I should say. And, you know, these were the bad memories that have been banished now forever. And there was no memories of losing in Croke Park because we hadn't been there.
No.
So that's why the Munster thing was such a big thing.
And do you know that shortcut that you can take from the stadium to by the rag? I don't know how, you know, you come out at the rag.
Correct.
I remember coming along there, we're driving along there, and just seeing all the people, all the chip people out cheering for us. I mean,
a rarity.
I could just died and gone to heaven, you know. It was a mighty
stop. The first
day.
Stop coming home was Declan Brown's and Nina, anyway.
Oh,
it was
yes.
our first
yeah.
stop, yeah. And people were walking in, you know, in the turns. And when they met friends, it wasn't so much of yahooing or shouting. The Clare shout wasn't as big a thing as just kind of almost a silent look for a few seconds and a big hug or something before they got chatting. There was just, you know, when you met your friends, this finally happened. It was just disbelief.
Yeah.
Yes, they were suspended in disbelief, really. But
well, I'm very impressed.
Magical thing.
I'm very impressed with the Killinina lads that got as far as Nina. We didn't get past Longs of Latra.
Really?
I remember that well.
A good stop as well, indeed, yeah.
So let's hear, let's think of those heady days of 95, and we're going to play Days Like This by Van Morrison.
When it's not always raining, there'll be days like this. When there's no one complaining, there'll be days like this. Everything falls into place like the flick of a switch. Well, my mama told me there'll be days like this. When you don't need to worry, there'll be days like this. When no one's in a hurry, there'll be days like this. When you don't get betrayed by that old Judas kiss. Oh, my mama told me there'll be days like this.
Days Like This by Van Morrison, which we're here remembering those great days of 95. And we hope that... That's brought back some memories for our listeners too. So Leo, now, what did you pick your next song, which is?
It's A Long Way From Clare to Here by Ralph McTell.
Yeah.
But prior to 95 and the great days, you know, we were at every match, every venue, you know, from the in we won the okay, Clare won the leagues in the '70s, but there was an awful lot of defeats before 95, and you know, being part of it myself, but you know, people were going to games, and you'd often hear the statement of people saying, coming out, God, it's going to be a long way, it's a long journey home, right? And for whatever reason, I thought when it's a long way from Clare to here, when we came out first, I thought it was about the Clare lads going to have a long journey home after losing again. But no, you look at, I think it's a brilliant song, you know, a lot of people tried it and have sang it well, like Paddy Riley. The Furies had a good cut at it as well, but I don't think there's anyone better than the original by Ralph McTell. It's yes. A long way from Clare to here. And
do you know, I was just, I remember hearing something about this, that when he was asked about why he wrote it, he said he was working on the buildings in England, he was working on construction, and that he was working with a fellow from Clare, and it was the way he phrased. He didn't say, when he was talking about being homesick, it's a long way, you know, from London to mm-hmm. Clare. He said it's a long, long way from Clare to here. And he said the way that was phrased just got into his head and immediately gave him the first line of the song, you know. And it's an anthem,
isn't it? It's a great classic, yeah. Yeah, he was. He did say that. I heard him saying that. You're right, Carol, that he was working, I think maybe even staying in a house
or
a flat with Clare lads, and they couldn't. Sometimes, you know, they weren't able to get back home for events, you know, because that time, you know, I suppose it was hard. Flights were awful expensive, first of all.
Oh, my goodness, they were so expensive.
But it's a classic song. Yeah. Great choice by Leo, yeah.
Four of us shared the room, we work hard for the crack.
Exactly.
So let's give that a whirl now.
It's a long, long way from Clare to here. It's a long way from Clare to here. It's a long, long way, it gets further by the day. It's a long way from Clare to here. It's a long way from Clare to here.
And that was Ralph McTell singing Long, Long Way from Clare to Here. But you're not a long, long way from Clare to here, because you're on Scariff Bay Community Radio on 88.3 and 92.7. And you're listening to Soundtrack to My Life. And now we're coming to towards the end of this show with my guests, Leo Doyle and Pat McNamara. And Pat, now it's over to you for your last choice. What is your final musical choice, Pat?
Carol, it's a very easy choice for me to pick my final artist, performer. It wasn't as easy to pick the record or the track to play, because he has so many outstanding pieces in his repertoire. But Martin Hayes, of course, is an absolute icon in Irish music today, and has been for quite a while now. A neighbour of ours up here in the Lough Rianey area, he is just across the hill from myself, and have known him for many, many years now. Obviously, Martin, you know, comes from a great family. His father, Pijo, founder member of the Tullichaily band, who played all over Ireland and Britain and indeed America as well, and a gentleman and an absolutely brilliant player. And Martin picked it up from his father, and you know, Martin started early and he picked it up naturally, I think, from hearing all the great players like his father and Paddy Kenny and so many others. So I got interested. I am no expert in Irish music at all myself, I have to say and admit, but I do love it, the sound of it, and I know when I hear a beautiful tune, and my own family were all into loved Irish music and dancing. I never got into the set dancing or anything like that, but I just, in more recent years, I've come to appreciate, you know, the quality of Martin's playing, and as well as that, I suppose, what he brings to music in terms of his explaining how he got the bug and what music means to him and how deep-rooted it is in family and in your countryside and in the ground you walk on and in the people that have gone past and that kind of thing. And he describes that wonderfully. And I've said before that it's nearly as good to listen to Martin describing the music as it is to hear him playing it. And that's saying something. A fantastic musician, world-renowned, in great demand, And you can see the passion he has for the music by the way he moves himself when he's playing. You know, his feet are just bouncing off the ground, and you can see it in his eyes, and the way that mop of hair is bouncing around the place. Cargo Man of Kerry Roots, I think. Dennis Cahill is a company man on guitar. When they get going together, it is absolutely magic. And Martin also then is a gentleman to boot, an absolutely humble, modest guy who never lost his roots. And whether you meet him after a concert in Fecal at the festival, or he's after a concert up at the National Concert Hall packed with urban listeners and various well-known people and the good and the bad and the indifferent, you know, he'll talk to everybody. He keeps his roots. He'll talk to his neighbours as well as some of the highest, you know, the highest known people in the land in the same way. Treat them all equally. Take the pictures and sign the autographs and discuss the music and have a smile and a chat. So I'm delighted to be able to bring Martin to your audience on your programme, Carol. And the Paddy Fahey Reel is as good a tune as any. It's a lovely, slow, lazy, easygoing style. Obviously, the musical skill is there, but it's just something very relaxing and very, I suppose, East Clare.
Yes, and you know what? This is a great choice, and I'm delighted at any time to play Martin Hayes. So we're going to hear now Paddy Fahey's Reel by Martin Hayes with Dennis Cahill. Paddy Fahey's Reel by Martin Hayes with Dennis Cahill, and that was the final choice of my guest Pat McNamara's on the soundtrack to my life, and that's just a beautiful tune. And we've had a lovely selection here this evening. I don't really want it to end, but I understand you've got another programme to go and make, so I've got to let you go, and I need to go to Leo for Leo's final choice. And what's your final choice of music, Leo, and why?
Well, it's a very big comparison from Paddy Fahey's Reel, and I always concur with Martin, with Pat and yourself. Martin Hayes, a truly brilliant musician. Celine Dion is a Canadian singer, and I suppose got to listen to a bit about her in the middle 90s, I suppose, and one of the songs that came out that time was Think Twice. It came out in 1993, and I suppose it's a song that my wife Chrissy and myself, we both like, and I suppose if you want to say it is
one song. Is it
a song? You could say that, yeah.
Well, that's
so
fair enough.
That's all I'm going to say. And
commentator and romantic, Leo Doyle.
Well,
yeah.
No,
far
it,
from it, Pat.
This is it. The other side of Leo Doyle.
The soft side of Leo, yeah.
Okay. I'm just going to play that now. And just before I do, I want to thank you both very much for joining me. It's been a real pleasure to hear your musical choices and to chat a little bit about hurling and all sorts of other stuff here. I hope you enjoyed it too.
Absolutely. Delighted to be here, for sure. Thank you.
Are you thinking about you or us? Don't say what you're about.